From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His disciples a pattern for prayer, the beloved words we call the Lord's Prayer. Currently, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the second division of the petitions found in the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In examining the Savior's teaching in these petitions, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that, first of all, they humble us by showing us ourselves. As we see our own poverty, folly, depravity, and frailty, we realize that we must cast ourselves entirely upon God. Then these petitions challenge us by showing us our need. Certainly, we need food for our bodies, but more than that, we need cleansing from our sins. Until a man sees his need, he will never come to Christ for salvation. Dr. Cairns will continue this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional thought is entitled, Open Door of Communion. The text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Saints who remain faithful to the truth of God have an open door before them. My soul, thou hast resolved to live and die by that which the Lord has revealed in His Word, and therefore before thee stands this open door. I will enter in by the open door of communion with God. Who shall say me nay? Jesus has removed my sin and given me His righteousness, therefore I may freely enter. Lord, I do so by Thy grace. I have also before me an open door into the mysteries of the Word. I may enter into the deep things of God. Election, union with Christ, the second advent, all these are before me, and I may enjoy them. No promise and no doctrine are now locked up against me. An open door of access is before me in private, and an open door of usefulness in public. God will hear me. God will use me. A door is opened for my onward march to the church above and for my daily fellowship with the saints below. Some may try to shut me up or shut me out, but all in vain. Soon shall I see an open door into heaven. The pearl gate will be my way into the presence of God. Then I shall go in unto my Lord and King and be with God eternally shut in.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity.
Touching a hand and finding it gone.
darkest night. Oh, how lonely death can be. And the Savior's nail-scarred hand will lead you to the light. For death is swallowed up in victory.
But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching the heart and finding it God's, of breathing new air.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
Because it's only as a man sees his need that that man will urgently, really, faithfully pray. So stupid are we that give us the slightest glimmer of hope in the flesh, the slightest hope in the strength that we can muster, and we will always, without fail, depend on ourselves. So these things show us ourselves in order to humble us. But to challenge us, they show us our need. Now, I've mentioned need already, but I want to specify it a little further, because there are two kinds of need, physical and spiritual. And both of them are important. And both of them are legitimate items for prayer. But I want you to notice this. And this is the difference between the spiritual man and the carnal or the ungodly. Four petitions, have a look at them. And three out of the four emphasize the spiritual. Now that's not to undervalue the physical, as I'll show in a moment. You go to most church prayer meetings. Now you'll have gathered from what I said in the announcements this morning, in this church I believe in praying for the sick among God's people. I believe in praying for their health. I believe in praying for their physical and material needs, as will become clear as we, or even clearer should I say, as we proceed. But you go to most churches and the prayer list is all health and wealth and nothing else. Nowadays, those are the only things that churches seem to pray about. Now, it's legitimate to pray about those things. But let us not get to the place where we are so consumed with the material, so consumed with the physical, that we lose sight of what is spiritual and what is therefore eternal. As I said, this doesn't undervalue the physical. The Lord mentions your physical needs first. The very first thing he tells you to pray about yourself is what? Give us our daily bread. Why does he do that? Well, for a very simple reason. In fact, two very simple reasons. The very simple reasons are these. Usually your physical and material needs are the most immediate and the most obvious. And the other reason is this. It is very difficult to speak to a man about spiritual things if he's starving. The Savior knew that. That's why he fed the 5,000. He's the one who did so. As you know, I was saved in the Salvation Army when I was a little boy. And I've often referred to William Booth, a man whose theology I didn't and don't much agree with, but whose life and person I hold in deep, deep reverence. William Booth had a passion for souls that changed England and changed, in many ways, industrial America. Salvation Army was launched by a man with a passion for the poor. It's hard for you and me to understand the social deprivation, the poverty that was in the newly industrialized England. It's hard to understand that while men became multimillionaires, they did so with the blood, sweat, tears, and very lives of their fellow men. Gin houses were in every corner. Dens of prostitution were in every street. There was darkness, blackness, the churches, for the most part, could do little about it. The fires of the great Methodist revival had long since become just embers. God stirred the heart of Booth to go among the poor. And with a fire that could not be put out, He organized first himself, then his family, and then those who were converted through him into what became the Salvation Army. And Booth's attitude was this, that though he longed to see people saved, it was a mockery to go to men who had not had a square meal in days and had no means of ever getting one, and give them a gospel tract and say, God loves you. To William Booth, that was the most ungodly mockery. That's how the Salvation Army became as well as a gospel preaching outfit. And I don't use outfit in anything of a derogatory sense, for they didn't call themselves a church. It was deliberately an army on the march, blitzing the strongholds of hell. But as well as being gospel preaching, it worked to feed and clothe the poor and the needy. Daily bread often has to precede your preaching of the gospel. Missionaries have found that wherever they have gone. And very often, in the providence of God, the greatest missionary tool available to the Church of Christ today is to go in, say where communism has failed. This has happened in Croatia and the surrounding nations. Croatia, largely Roman Catholic. Serbia, largely Eastern Orthodox. And of course you've got the large Muslim input as well. But as communism and Romanism and so-called Orthodoxy and Islam reduced that place to blood and agony and destitution, Christians have gone in, Christian doctors, Christian nurses, airlifting tons of food, tons of medical supplies, and on the ground they have fed men and then led them to Christ. All this importance to the physical. And if this is true in evangelism, let me tell you, it continues to be true in the church. In the early church they had what? All things common. Talking about their giving, how was it described? It was described as a communication, a making common of what God had given to them, to the whole body of Christ. You read Paul's pastoral epistles, this is exactly what he set in order in the churches. That the church of Jesus Christ was there to labor for the physical benefit of all his people. To do good to all men, but especially to the people who were of the household of faith. Now there was a delicate and difficult balance that Paul himself recognized. On the one hand, he desired every Christian to be a hard working, responsible individual, not a moocher. New Testament church had no place for moochers, male or female. And if a person could work, he said, let them work. And if they won't work, let them starve. There was no sloppy liberal sentimentality. But on the other hand, he wanted God's people to be a kindly, caring people. Be ye kind one to another. That's a very old-fashioned word, isn't it? What is the epitome of the woman in Proverbs 31? What is the, to me anyway, the little thing that sums up this woman's virtues to perfection? It is the law of kindness is in her heart. The law. Whose law? God's law. The law of kindness
God's people are told to deal with each other that way. That means you pray and you labor for the physical and the spiritual good of God's people. Now think of these two areas, physical and spiritual need. I'm not going to preach on them, for time has almost gone. But we do need food for our bodies. Pray for it. And let me tell you, never, never take it for granted. Never take it for granted, A, that you have it, or B, that you can enjoy it when you do have it. Some of the richest men in the world live lives of misery. They could buy all the food in all the stores, but their system can't receive it. Never take it for granted. We pray for our food, for our bodies. We need cleansing for our sins. When we come to pray, let your mind dwell much on the blood of the Lamb of God. Let the sacrifice of Christ in all its virtue and value fill and thrill your thoughts, so that you are consciously coming to the Lord, pleading the mighty victory of the cross for the sanctifying and the cleansing of your soul. The Word of God in Isaiah 52 gives us this command, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." We were singing from the 15th Psalm this morning about who could ascend into the hill of God. It says, "He that worketh righteousness." It's not preaching salvation by works. This is speaking about Christians. This is speaking about people who are already saved, who will be able effectively to be people of worship and of prayer. Holy people. They're the only people. Come to the 24th Psalm. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" Notice the description of where God dwells. It's his holy place. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." As the 15th Psalm says, a man of integrity, a man of honesty, a man who, if he has given his word in a matter, he will follow it through, even though it costs him to do so. It's the man who gets through to God. Let me tell you, it tells you an awful lot about the powerlessness of God's people in prayer these days. Why is it that so few people have power to pray? Why is it we have such a difficult time obtaining answers to our praying? The very first thing we've got to look at is ourselves. No good blaming television unless you're wasting your time and you should be praying at it. No good blaming the devil. No good blaming the liberals. No good blaming Mr. Clinton. No good blaming the government. Start with yourself, and you'll find in most cases the reason for unanswered prayer is unconfessed, uncleansed sin. It's the real reason. We need cleansing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.